Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit given to us to aid us to know Jesus and become like Jesus. Thank you because the Holy Spirit is already available in us, actively ready to making sure that Jesus is known and glorified in our midst tonight. Thank you because he's touching every part of our lives that needs to be touched right now as the word goes forth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's be seated. So in the first service, we started talking about living for the cause of Christ. Hallelujah. And quoted some scriptures and cited some examples from patriarchs of faith like Apostle Paul and others. We started with 1 Kings 19:12, maybe from verse 11, so that you understand how God wanted to reveal himself to the prophet Elijah. Amen. Why? Because the expectation about God in the heart of the prophet was not actually how God is in the realm of the spirit. So the Bible said in verse 11, so then he said, go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind, the Bible said. And of course, I'm sure everybody will be surprised like Elijah. Why would God not be in this very thrilling manifestation? A wind came and broke rocks into pieces. Rocks, mountains. And the Bible said God was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And I chipped in something which I want to chip in again in the second service. I said, this is another scripture to show you that God did not cause any earthquake you are seeing in the world today. Are we together? God is not the author of tsunami and earthquakes. If you ever see that in this world, it's not from God. There was a time, a country, I think, was it in Brazil, it happened, that the people mocked Jesus, they said, in an Olympics, right? And suddenly, they had a natural disaster that really killed a lot of people. And people said God was paying them for what they did, because they disrespected him. And I said, no, the Bible did not show that that's the character of God. So somebody say, explain what happened. Now, before I explain, trust the character of God from his word. Jesus said, he that has seen me has what? Seen the one that sent me. Jesus said, Moses say an eye for an eye, but he said, I tell you, pray for your enemies. Did Jesus say that? Huh? Unbelievable, isn't it? Then at a point he said, Moses said this because of the hardness of your heart. You know what that means is that you guys were too stubborn. Moses had to succumb to your stubbornness. And that's why he had to bend low for some of you, because you were too stubborn. He said, but I'm going to go back to the beginning, the way things are supposed to be. He said, in the beginning, it was not so. Hallelujah to Jesus. So living by the order of the New Testament is living by the actual order of God. Actual order of God. As he intended in the beginning, while creating man. The New Testament life and ideologies are not some new school of thought trying to come and alter the plan of God through time. Even if it sounds new, it's older than the Old Testament. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Bible speaks about a mystery that has been hidden in ages past for our glory. We are revealing the mystery today, Christ in us. But it has been hidden in ages past, older than the Old Testament. Before Abraham was, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am. And they were all shocked. Because the ideologies he was bringing negated everything they had understood from Moses. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's not even the height of it. Here is Jesus correcting some ideologies they had learned from Moses. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you really have to calm down to really understand this good. You must not be haphazard. Like I said to some young people, I said, don't just be running. Calm down to really understand this good. Sit down and read your Bibles. It's just like people that want to study medicine and they want to become doctors by... Somebody wants to become a doctor. He wants to become a doctor by wish and point out the desire to become a doctor. Just imagine you want to become a doctor. And while in school, instead of reading, you are praying alone. Now, it's not bad to pray that God should help you to become a doctor. But every day of your life, you are praying, Lord, I want to become a good doctor. Good doctor. Why should you should be reading? You are praying. Hallelujah. And when you are giving exams, you will fail. Now, should in case you probably graduated, why praying, point your desire to become a doctor? If you graduated without the required information that should certify you for being a doctor, is that not dangerous to this community? Will you not forget knife in the stomach of somebody? Some sort of... You know, while we're in school, I used to tell myself that some of our prayers are not realistic. You know? And God had shown me His mercy in some areas. For instance, I remember my jam. I told you people the story. 2-7. God said, read 2-7 during my time. I read 2-7 mathematics. I did not change one question. So I'd seen the mercy of God in these areas. I remember my pursuit here. Don't try it at home. Oh. And it didn't work every time. I'm going to show you how God spoke to me at some point. Because it was working. So I wanted to graduate like that. And God told me, you're on your own now. Now listen, my pursuit tell me, I did not read the whole question. I ticked the whole answers. Yes. Number one. Two. I'm done. Guess what I had? The cutoff mark was... Was it 14 that time? I had 64. Amen. I did not check questionnaire. I was just ticking. So I would have just come out and said, see, there's a dimension of God that can teach you. I've seen this thing. I've heard testimonies of people. You know, I heard of a... They said there was a young pastor in a certain school. He didn't know this exam, and he had prayed. When he came for the exam, he just sat down and he started seeing the answers on the wall. So he was just looking at the wall and writing. I had a testimony like that. So those things used to, you know, as students, we like those kind of testimonies. So I was trusting God that I've seen this one. I'm going to see the height of it. This one too, one day I'll enter. Now until one time I wrote one exam that I didn't know anything. And when I finished the exam, I knew I was going to come and write this exam again. So I now shook myself. I was feeling the presence of God while writing the exam. It was so strong. The anointing on my head was so strong. I had prayed through the night. It was so strong. With that strong anointing, I did not know anything. And I failed. No, I thought maybe the anointing will cover, but I failed the course. Like I expected to feel. So I now told myself, I said, but the same people used to see an answer on the wall. You know, people used to see this one. Why is it that my time is getting different? Now God now reminded me how He has helped me. Alright? He has given me miracles, but He said He wants me to live by wisdom. Then he told me, if for instance I do like this and graduate, and I'm supposed to represent this course in time, in the world, somewhere, what will I say? He said that would be a bigger disgrace to his name. So it's better he shows me that I'm about to make a big mistake. I started reading. I was reading like every human being was reading in school. There was no man of God reading. I was reading like every human being was reading. You know, some of you, it's like when we say we're spirits living in the body, you think spirits read differently. You know, when you are reading in school, you know, spirits, if these ones are human beings, and they need to even look at the book for we don't look, we just imagine the book and we begin to see. And we'll pass exam. I mean, you'll be shocked. And you can't represent God out there, especially for medicine. You just pray, Lord, I want to be a doctor. Help me to be a doctor. You don't want to read. When you graduate, you may become a disaster. That's what I'm trying to talk about here now as I'm talking about this scripture. So certain Christians like that, prayer is important. But they think it's only by shouting, they become like Christ. They don't want to read the Bible to understand their place in Christ. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So you see, they have passion. They have passion for these things. It's not like they are wicked people. They are nice people. They really love God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They have passion. They pray, God, I want to take over nations. God, I want to. But they don't know the Bible. They don't know the wisdom of God. Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes. I wish I can see that part of scripture. Let's see Ecclesiastes 10:10. Is it 10:10? Some sort of. Let's see it. Check it for me, media. I'm trying to be sure that that's the scripture. 10:10. Yes, I think I'm right. It said, if the ass is what? Dull. And one does not sharpen the edge, then he must what? Use more strength. It said, but wisdom brings what? Success. He will use what? More strength. It said, but wisdom brings what? Success. Hallelujah to Jesus. I remember many years ago, I was reading a book by E.W. Kenyon of Blessed Memory. And he was teaching on, it was a book. In the book, he was talking about faith. I'm sure some of you have seen that book, New Creation Realities. Amen? So he was talking about faith. He said, faith does not come by shouting the name of the Lord. He said, faith cometh by hearing the word. So he said, if you want to walk in faith, learn to hear God's word. Now, he even said something that shook me more. He said, faith does not come by reading stories of fathers of faith. He said, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Revival stories. You know, some of us are like that. And I used to be like that too. I'll be watching, an angel appeared somewhere on YouTube. I'll be watching, gold dust appeared somewhere. And a headache comes. You cannot even remove headache from your life. You are wondering. You are passionate. But the power of God is not in display. Because faith does not come by reading stories. Faith comes by hearing the word. Then he said something while he was teaching. He said, that is why you can pray for long and still not see results in your prayer. I said, how? What is this man saying? You know, I was coming from an apostolic setting. I grew up in Kaduna, Zaria. So we are known there till today for prayer. Our ideology is just prayer and power. That's our mentality. And it's not, we didn't see it like a bad thing because we had seen the power of God in several dimensions by God's grace. So I was wondering because I wanted more. Hallelujah to Jesus. And when he said those words, they really got into my heart. Amen. In fact, I started doubting the book at some point. Especially when I heard a prophet like me saying that God told him not to read the book of E.W. Kenyon. So I said, I think prophets should not be reading this kind of book. I didn't know that it was because he was finding it difficult to believe the things the man wrote. Are we together? So you see, many Christians, even in today's world, many Christians, they are shouting, but little or no result. In fact, the things in their prayer are a shame in the realm of the spirit. You know, one time I heard somebody say, pray, oh, pray, so that when your enemies kill you, they will not repent. I said, what kind of a mentality is that? So the reason why you are praying 9 hours is so that when your enemies kill you, you will die. He said, when you die, then they will come and repent tomorrow. But you have already died. So pray, oh, pray. I said, this is stinking in the realm of the spirit. So the reason why I'm praying is not only because of Jesus. I'm praying for, in my mind now, what I'm imagining is one enemy that may want to kill me. So I'm imagining the enemy and I'm praying, Lord, that enemy, kill them before they kill me. Else they repent and I keep on being dead somewhere in heaven. I said, that's a funny mentality. Without revelation, prayer becomes useless. They ask Charles Spurgeon of blessed memory, they say, which is more important, prayer or the word? He now asks, which one is more important, breathing in or breathing out? They can't work different from each other. It's not possible. They must work hand in hand. So if you keep on praying, in fact, firstly, you must understand that without revelation, you can't actually pray effectively. You cannot. Because the Bible says, if you pray according to my will, then I'll answer you. How will you know his will except you pray? Else you are praying amiss. The Bible told us in Romans 12, in verse 2. You know, it was driving somewhere from verse 1. But many people don't see that connection. It says, from verse 1 of Romans 12, it says, offer your body, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your most reasonable service or reasonable service. Hallelujah to Jesus. I think I did this teaching one time. I said the word present there is from the root word in Greek that means to acknowledge. Remember, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, don't you know that you were bought with a price and your body, you are not your own? And he told us our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember? We didn't sell the body. We are not the one that gave the body. Jesus did it for us. We've been bought at a price. Our body today legally belongs to God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So what happens is that when you understand God's word, when you understand this truth by the Holy Spirit, what you do today is not saying, God, take my body, is your own. No, it's to acknowledge that this body which is my own is now God's. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's now God's. You know, because if you think you are the one trying to give your body to God, you may find it quite difficult because you will still be struggling. You must understand that the body already belongs to God. Say, I'm not my own. I belong to God. The body already belongs to God. So the body is mandated to live for God alone. The body does not have an option. This body legally belongs to God. It is only designed to live for God alone. I'm not the one trying to present this body right now, give this body right now. What I'm doing is that I'm acknowledging. When I have revelation, I now say, oh, because I read what Paul said, I've been bought with a price, the body belongs. So I say, okay, body, you belong to God. Respect God. Are you together? I'm trying to explain to you. And Paul said, that can only happen by the mercies of God, when you understand what Jesus has done for you on Calvary. And Paul also said in verse 1 that that's your most reasonable service to God. Meaning that after you, if the proof that you truly understand what Jesus has done on Calvary for you is that you say, body, you belong to God. Live for God. If the body is not living for God, then you don't understand what Jesus has done for you on the cross of Calvary. Because everything he has done is to the end that the earth becomes his home. Is the truth. The Bible said, Emmanuel, God with us. The goal of his death, burial, and resurrection is that as it is in heaven, so shall it be upon the face of the earth. And what is the meaning of that kingdom? He came for a kingdom. What is kingdom? My will be done on earth. My kingdom come when my will is done, as it is done. So the kingdom is not really established until God's word is working 100% on earth like it is working in what? In heaven. And who are the conduits to making this a reality? We human beings. Through what? Our body. Are you seeing that now? The only way God can be accommodated on the earth is through our body. If our bodies are not prepared, he cannot find expression on the earth. That is why even Jesus said in Hebrews 5, I think Hebrews 10:5. He said, a body art thou prepared for me. In other words, if there was no body, then it would not be possible to explain John 1. He said, and the word was made flesh and what? Dwelt among us, and men had the possibility of seeing the glory full of what? Grace and truth. So how will men see the glory of God full of grace and truth except the word was made flesh? That's why I always tell you that your body is not your enemy. God is not foolish. He is God. He is King. He is Almighty. He is all wise. He will not carry something that is your enemy and put on you. Your body is not your enemy. The Bible just told you, so we're going somewhere. But some, while we're going to the end, Paul said, somehow you should understand that the things of the Spirit work it contrary to the things of the flesh. At the status quo. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The things of the Spirit, now he's driving somewhere. That's not a conclusion. So you don't wake up all your life thinking, ah, my spirit and my flesh are supposed to be enemies every day. No! Understand that they were actually designed from the beginning to work together, not different. Are you listening to me? Your body is not your enemy. It's high time you stop seeing your flesh as an enemy. It's not. In fact, you see, the flesh on your body, the flesh is part of God's agenda for salvation. Because if the flesh is not important, why will he say in his word that your body are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Why will he say that? He did not say your humanity, your tripartite being. He said your body. Are you people get out and trying to say, why do you think Satan is just all for the flesh every time? The flesh. He's the one making religious people conscious of the flesh and sinners conscious of the flesh. Because the flesh is how God will find expression on the earth and bring about kingdom reality becoming a manifestation. If the flesh is not prepared, we will not see God finding expression on the earth. It's not possible. It's not about your spirit. You know, some people say, I'm saving my spirit, I'm saving my soul, blah, 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 but my body can never be saved. Your body is saved. Paul said in the book of Thessalonians, he said, why I was writing to that church there, he said, God has perfected both our spirit, soul, and body. That's what he said. A lot of scriptures to affirm this. The Bible said, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what has happened to your body? It has what? Quicken your mortal body. Quicken your mortal body. What did he say in the next part of scripture? He said, therefore you are debtors. You are the one now owing God. He said, you are owing God not to live according to the dictates of the flesh, else you die. He said, this is what you are owing God to, by your spirit, what? Mortify the desires of the flesh. Meaning God is like, I've done so much, you owe me, brother. You don't owe me living in the flesh anymore. You owe me living in the spirit. I'm making sure that flesh is what? Subjected to living in the spirit. So I've got the ability of God on my inside to subject my flesh so that my flesh lives in the spirit. You know, we like the statement that said, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Sorry. Yes, right? But the spirit is willing. But now, Jesus did not stop there. He still spoke through Paul. He said, walk in the spirit. And you know what? Fulfill the desires of the flesh. I like saying it the way it is. 1 John 3:9. It said, you are born of God. You are born of God. And you cannot sin because the seed of God is in you. What do you now say? I cannot sin. Now say it like you mean it, want to go. I cannot sin. You don't be scared. And somebody's asking, is it futuristic or present? Does it look futuristic here? 1 John 3:9. Does it look futuristic? Go there. It doesn't look futuristic, isn't it? It said, whoever has been born of God, whoever, Calabar, Thief, Idoma, whoever has been born of God, how many of you are born of God? He said the person does not sin. Meaning if we are born of God, we don't sin. For his seed remains in him and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What is your confession and expectation? This knowledge now should create an expectation in your heart. Not an expectation to sin. Because you are born of God. And his seed, his nature, DNA, is in you. You can't sin. So saying I might sin is not humility. It's timidity or foolishness. What is sponsoring this faith? The word of God. What is sponsoring your confession? The word of God. You're not just being optimistic. I don't sin. That's pride. Our confession is hinged on God's word. If you expect to sin, you must sin. Nobody can be perfect. Then why are you scared? Why are you angry when people sin in church? You know, I always had a problem with the Orthodox while I was growing up. They say we can never be perfect. Yet they drive away sisters for being imperfect like they expected. A sister comes up and says, I'm pregnant. They say, leave church. So I said to them, you people already say we can't be perfect. So expect imperfection. If you tell people they cannot be perfect, they can never be perfect. But God Almighty says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Because your new birth is not of the order of your dad and mom. You are born of the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, you mean I should get into my mother's womb and come? And he said, no. You are born of God. He said, when you are born again, what happens? He said, you are born of water and of the Spirit. Then somebody was asking me a question. He says, Pastor Simon, you mean we should get into water and get into the Spirit? No. The word and there is kai in Greek. Alright? So what are they trying to do? They are trying to explain spiritual things with physical things. Did Jesus say something like that? Yeah. Go down, you see, he said something like, if I had used natural things to explain spirit, same John 3, and you don't understand Nicodemus, what if I said plainly from the realm of the Spirit? How will you understand? Now, go up now. What is the only natural thing in every word of Jesus there? Water. So he used water to explain his spiritual effect. What is he saying? Go to Ephesians 5:26. The washing as by the word. You see that, right? Who teaches us the word? The Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit teaches us the word, what is happening? We have been washed of the old mentality to a new mentality. So Jesus is like, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost and he teaches you the word, then your eyes are open and you see the kingdom. And you can do all of these things. You see that? That is why you can't separate these things. We are born again when the Holy Spirit enters. I was trying to explain this to a certain people. So we are born again when the Holy Spirit gets the other person. No, we are born again when we understand the word of God. I said, they are the same thing. The person that teaches the word is the Holy Spirit. So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, potentially you know the word. Because you have the one that teaches the word in you. And when you actively engage his ministry and understand the word of God, then your eyes are open. That's what it means for you to be born again. When we read scripture, a lot of times we are just seeing the summary of everything. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? When they say you are born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word, what they are trying to say is that you are born again when the Holy Spirit gets on your inside and teaches you the word. Then it washes off your old mentality. But the scripture just summarizes everything. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So when somebody comes out and receives Jesus, they are in the process of being born again. They are just experiencing everything. Because mind renewal needs to happen. Mind renewal needs to happen. And like we said in the book of Romans 12, the Bible says, if you look at it, Paul was saying, calling for a possibility that is already a reality in the supernatural, right? He said, by the mercies of God, present, we have done the maths, there is what? Acknowledge. Acknowledge that your bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Then he said, this is your most reasonable service. Right? Then in verse 2, I added a word, by, to help you understand. He said, by not being conformed. So how do we acknowledge that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Sorry. How do we acknowledge that our body is a living sacrifice to God, which is our only reasonable sacrifice? By not. I hear people get what I'm trying to say now. By not being conformed to the systems of the world. But how? By being renewed. By the word, by being transformed, sorry, by the word, renewal of our minds. So as our minds are renewed every day by the word of God, as we get to understand the word of God, then we now understand, we are now able to prove the will of God, which is what? And what? And what? When your minds get renewed, what then happens? You are able to prove. If your mind is not renewed, you don't know what God hates, and you don't know what God likes. It is when your mind is renewed that you know what God hates and what God likes. In summary, it is when your mind is renewed that you know the will of God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, the will of God is not in three categories. The will of God is one. But this scripture explains it with three words, adjective. Are we together? So the will of God that is good is the will of God that is what? Acceptable. And the will of God that is what? Perfect. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There are no three categories of God's will. And do you know this little misunderstanding can cause you a lot of error? Because your expectation is wrong. I remember one time I heard a story of a young man that says, God has given him 3 options for a wife. So there are 3 ladies. And he has the liberty to choose whichever is his wife. You see, because he misunderstood the scripture. You see why we are always fighting for right doctrines to be in place. Paul said something to Timothy. He said, be careful, observe and be careful of the things you teach, the things you know. He said, in doing so, you save both your life and those that hear you. Imagine I'm teaching this, there is 3 categories of God's will. Then you'll be very confused. In fact, how confused will you be? Very, very confused. Because when you wake up in the morning, you'll be wondering, God, is this your perfect way for me? And God said, no, it's my acceptable way for you. I accept it, but it's not the perfect. But if you can be a little bit patient, I'll take you into the perfect way. What's that? And somebody may, well, I'm in the good will of God. And they keep 3 ladies. Acceptable, perfect, and good. Everybody will not choose good. Everybody will not choose acceptable. No, let me even take it from here to here. Maybe perfect is not your spec. Acceptable is what you manage. And good is your spec. But they are all in God's will, right? So God, I don't mind taking your good will, alright? Because your good will has what I want. But your acceptable will, there's something lacking. But your perfect will is a no-go area. It's a junk. That's foolishness. Are we together? It's not scriptural. So you see, when your minds are renewed, then you can prove the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect in the sight of God. Right? And that way, since you now know God's will, you can now do God's will. And how do you do God's will? It is seen or done by your body. So how do you acknowledge your body to be a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable? By knowing the will of God and doing the will of God through what? Your body. So if I know the will of God, my body will do the will of God. But if I don't know the will of God, my body cannot do the will of God. So verse 1 is fulfilled when I understand verse 2. Else I'll wake up one morning and say, God does not like earring. I'll remove earring. I just feel like God does not like earring. But meanwhile, if I look at scripture, the Bible describes Zion like a woman that has adorned herself with jewels. So because I understand the word of God, my mind has been what? Renewed. Then I understand God likes earring. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But I may be thinking before that I need to do something for God to accept me. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because my mind has not been renewed. And what does scripture cause that in Hebrews 9? Dead works in righteousness. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? In Romans 10, the Bible says, they worship me with their... Not that, right? I think verse 1, it said, pray for Israel that they may be saved. It said, because they think that in for being ignorant of my righteousness, they have created another righteousness for themselves. And what kills me in that scripture most times when I read is that Paul said, pray for Israel to be saved. They were very religious. Paul says, still pray for them to be saved. He said, because they are ignorant of God's righteousness. You can go there and see it. They are ignorant of what... That means you can be very religious and very ignorant. Are you seeing that? Very religious yet ignorant. You know, before I became a Christian, I told you my story. I said I was almost an atheist, if not an atheist. When they tell us, I came from a very religious home. My dad trains catechists in the military arm of the Catholic Church. And that was one of the things that even delayed his retirement because they were trying to look for a replacement for him. So he was into their beliefs. I saw Bibles while I was growing up, theological books and I saw them in the house. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, we were quite a religious home. You tell us to fast by all means. Everybody must fast, blah, blah, blah. And I remember, I don't used to fast the fast. He knew when he came to church when I was teaching this. He didn't even know before. I didn't need to fast because I didn't even believe in the things. So when they say we should fast, I'll just take some money and go and eat somewhere. I had some friends who eat a lot. And when we're coming back, we'll rub our hand on the ground. Then we'll rub our face and clean it like powder. Then you look dry like you did dry fast. Now we'll come back, they'll still give us food in the house. But I didn't believe the things. To me, I had questions. I was very inquisitive. I told you the story, isn't it? We'll be in church, I'll be asking questions. I loved questions from small. I used to ask questions, even in their catechism class. They've reported me to my father countless times for questions. Because I wanted to understand why this was this, why that was this. And yet people are not giving me, yeah, they want me not to ask questions. So I said, Tommy, I'm not in this thing, but I'll be there. That's how I was living my life. How did I become a Christian? Somebody answered the questions of my heart. I sat down somewhere, they were mocking a certain man of God. They said, he's so slow, he's so slow. Why do I say he's so slow, slow? I said, let me hear him. At least he's slow, but I can hear him for being slow. Prophet Kubus van Resburg. So as I was watching him, he was answering. It was a question and answer session with university students. As he was talking, I just saw myself cry. And I started saying, God is real. God indeed is. Wow. So that's why. And I bowed my head. I said, today I'll be Christian. I remember after becoming a Christian, I told myself, anything that does not make sense, makes not only sense, makes spirit, not only sense. Before they say it's only sense I'm talking about. If it doesn't make sense according to the wisdom of God, I wouldn't believe. The first place I started having problem was my home. They forced me to go for Ash Wednesday one day. I will never forget. I refused. My mother forced me. I said, I'm not going anywhere. You know what the feast entails? You go there, they will put some dust on your forehead and they will tell you, dust to her, you are, and to dust you shall return. I told them I wouldn't do that. Now, I'm saying the truth. I'm not trying to mock them. They have they know why they are believing that. But I told them I don't believe it. And my mother said, you will not believe something they born you into. I said, they did not born me into this. You are the one that brought me into it. It's not my belief. It was really a real time, you know, with argument and beating. They will beat you and make it. You will not hear me. Pwah! I will not hear. Lock me outside sometimes for my faith. And accept. Yet I say I will not believe. I remember one time they asked me a question. We're praying a prayer in the morning. Religious homo. Very religious. And while we're praying the prayer, I'm going to say the words, but I don't mean to insult anybody, but so that you understand. They said, it goes like this. Hey, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, to you do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. Now, I'd always been saying that, but that day, as I was saying it, there was a consciousness of my words. I wanted to hear what I'm saying. Because when we just say it and it's done. So, that day I wanted to hear what I'm saying. I said, Jesus Christ, in the prayer. As I said, Jesus Christ, everybody turned and looked at me. I'm sure she was very small that time. She can't remember. As everybody turned and looked at me, I stood up from the prayer and I went into the other room. I said, I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I'm not. I've been bought with a price, you know. And coupled with the fact that I was listening to Pastor Chris, I was just declaring words. That I rebuke those words that I've said in the name of Jesus. Praying in the Spirit. My father finished prayer, came and held my hand. Simon! He sat down. Are you okay? I said, yes, sir. What is the meaning of that? I said, sir, how can somebody say he's a poor, banished child of Eve? Daddy, did you hear what you just said? A poor, banished. And we say this more than 365 times in a year. Anyway, when you say 5 decades of the road, you have said it almost 5 times in a day. I said, sir, we will end up in what we say. I can't say that again with my mouth. That was not all. I said to my dad, now, you may find this quite insulting. You see, the reason why I say this with boldness, because the truth is that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. He's the one that convicts. If I boldly say this, there are some that will believe this. And there are some that may not believe it. But if I don't say that, I'm not even giving the people that the opportunity that want to believe, to believe. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's the truth. Because it's actually wrong. We were here when the lady gave a testimony that she came to this church. And when she heard me say something in this dimension, she vowed never to come to the church again. See, but when she went back home, she was still thinking of what I said. And she said, let me give it another trial. And she came again. And she came again. Until she became born again. filled with the Holy Ghost, strong and committed member of church today. And several other people gave that testimony. I'm not trying to mock, but it's the truth. Hallelujah. And my dad said, okay, let me explain to you, because I went gently. I said, why will we? So he said, you know, when Adam fell, blah, blah, blah. And when he tried to explain everything, I said, but Jesus. The Bible said, by one man sin entered the whole world. He said, but another man, Jesus. Sin has left the whole world. We have received the gift of righteousness and grace to reign. I was quoting it for him. I remember one of the words my father said. He said, Simon, I always knew you would turn up becoming an extremist with the way you read. Because when I was small, I wanted to be a doctor. So I would be reading in the night, even if never take light. I would still be straining my eyes to read. So he would come and be seizing my books. He felt like I was reading too much. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I'll be in secondary school. I'll be answering questions in medicine. I'll be talking about, you know. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he said those words. But I remember, again, my mom were talking one time. He said, why is it that you negate these things? You were brought into this. You were born into these things. In fact, these things made you. I said, the things did not make me. Now, that's the truth. The Holy Spirit made me. That's what the Bible says. It is the Holy Spirit that makes people. Jesus was born in this kind of place. He rose in this kind of place and spoke against this kind of place. He spoke against them. At age 12, he was talking with high philosophers in his church. When he grew up, he now said, destroy this temple. That's the height of it. Destroy it, and in 3 days, build it up. He did not say repair it. He said destroy it. Religious system cannot be repaired. They need to be destroyed. You know, you want to be better than Jesus. You know, I heard some people preachers saying they want to unify. There are some places you can't unify certain people. You cannot. The unity of the faith is in the knowledge of the Son of God. Meaning all of us must agree to the knowledge. We cannot bend because of somebody's ideology and say, I'll bend to your ideology. No, God is saying that everybody keep your ideology, come to Jesus. That's where our unity is. We must accept Jesus's ideology. That's where the unity of everybody is. Whatever ideology you have, keep it. Come for this ideology. Meaning if I'm here and somebody is practicing his thing and saying, let's be united, I'll say, no, meet me here. Because this is where the knowledge is and this is where the unity should be. Are you people getting? I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. Glory to God forevermore. I told you how I went to pray for a woman. Mama T, they are related to the Mama T somehow. So we wanted to go and pray because they say she was pooing on her body, almost dead, you know. Just a lot of stupid things happening to her health-wise. And I've been hearing, you know, week upon week, they'll call that the teen has graduated. So Mama T just told me, since we're married now, you have to be following me to go and, I didn't used to follow before, you have to be following me to go and greet these people. So she said we should go. After church, we went under the anointing. So as we entered there, as I saw the woman, I just folded my hands like this and I was looking. Mama T was greeting and talking, Lucozet boost plenty, just to give her a little strength. She was looking like a dead corpse already. Pooing on her body, they will clean the place like a child. Poo, pee, everything will be cleaning. Then she held one big distinct on her hands. She, in her words, she called it the chaplet. So I said to Mama T, I felt the anointing so strong. I said to Mama T, can you talk to her that I want to pray with her? I want to lay hands on her head. I just felt like laying hands on her head. Now, I don't know how God will do it, but I know God will do it. It's the truth. He said, well, what will God do with this? If you see this situation, even you ask God, how will you do it? But there's no need asking because I know he will do it somehow. Like the person that gave us a testimony here told us that his growths disappeared. I don't know if I called. Did he say I spoke about growth disappearing? Yeah, I said growth. But if you ask me, logically explain how that a growth will disappear. How will I start explaining it to you? Rather, you say just cut the thing. But I declare it, you know, in the spirit, sometimes he tells us things that open our minds, but we find it difficult to believe. You may just be praying and you hear something like, I'm the richest in the whole world. You don't say, wait a minute, how? Because if the Holy Spirit had allowed you to calculate your words, you will never say something like that. But you say, Lebra Hanna Shababa Rikaba, I'm the richest in the whole world, I'm the richest. Maybe your brother will say, you see waiting. Sorry, it's a mistake. See, but you are saying it with the Spirit, by the Spirit, because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the Holy Ghost helped our infirmity with what? Groanings. Now, words cannot explain. So when you pray possibilities in the Spirit, then the interpretation may come as a prophecy. That's what you said in the Spirit, that you just said in English. You people get what I'm trying to say? So because God knows that your mind will not know to believe it, He helps you in the Spirit to say these mysteries. Then all of a sudden, sometimes when you are filled up, you now confess one of the things you see in the Spirit, and it blows your mind. I remember I was reading a book by Kenneth Hagin many years ago. He said one way the Holy Ghost interprets tongues in the Spirit is via prophesying. And you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? I wouldn't. I told her I want to lay hands on this woman. And when I said it, she went to the woman on a sick bed, pulling on your body, peeing. She said no. That she's praying her chaplet in her words. I looked at the situation. I shook my head. I knew that thing is just a dead rope. Nothing is going to happen there. I knew there's nothing there. It's the truth. Now, the truth is I'm not preaching for your money, so you can decide not to give me money. It's fine. But if you get to the realm of the Spirit, if God does not say what I'm saying, then I'm not a prophet. If you meet God in heaven, He will say worse than this. So I was wondering. I was saying, but I'm praying like that, and it worked. It didn't work. It's your faith that worked. That was more like a channel, a means. The thing was like substance. You held it, but your faith was towards God. So you're like, God, as I'm holding this thing, do it, do it, do it. So your faith, which is as small as a mustard seed, prevailed. What strengthened it was the thing you were holding physically. That thing has no power. Throw it away, it will still work. No, Pastor, I've poured water on my body. Did this thing left? It's not the water that caused it to left. It's your faith. You saw substance, just like the Old Testament. They had substance that helped their faith to prevail. Lamb slain, getting washed into water. But Jesus comes, He says, I'm living water. So now we don't see any water being poured upon us. We just know that if we're in Christ, we have entered the water, we have come out, we are new creations. But did they see miracle in the Old Testament? Yes. When they use water? Yes. Should we keep on looking to those things? No. Because as long as Moses is being preached, a veil hinders us. We'll be limited if we think like that. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. That's why I say in the New Testament, you don't need anything water. You don't need it. In John 1, God told us that the reason why He allowed John to continue the ministry of baptism was because He wanted to reveal Jesus to Israel. It was more like an algorithm. Get into the water, because He had told him, remember what John said? He said, the one that the Spirit will come upon and remain, He is the choosing one. So the reason they were in the water was because He is looking for the one that the Spirit will come upon and remain. More like an algorithm. Immediately Jesus came, the one washing with water, removing sin from people with water, said, behold, the Lamb that takes away. Now, I thought the water was taking away sins away. But when He saw Jesus, He said, the one that takes away sin is here. And when Jesus got into the water, why did He get into the water? Because the way Israel will know the Messiah is when He gets into the water, comes out, and the Spirit comes upon Him and remain. That's why I said, I have to do this thing for righteousness to be fulfilled, for the people to know that I am the one. And you people get on trying to explain to you. It's in the Bible in John 1. You can put it up for me, media. You know the power of Scripture. It's not needed. That is why in the New Testament, now listen carefully. Listen carefully. Stop all of those rituals. They will affect your faith. Truly, they will affect your faith. They will limit you. Like one time we were traveling from Lagos to Makurdi, and a lady's anointing oil, the car shook. The driver missed his way at close to one small bridge. So the car shook. And the bottle of oil just went hit her and just broke in the car. Bam. And the woman said, my man too, my man too. And she was crying. So I remember I asked my neighbor, I said, this woman is crying for her man too. She wants to save her man too. Between man mantle and us, who saves who? Is the mantle not supposed to save you? Are you the one to save your mantle? You are carrying your mantle. Keep it in a part of the house. You know, I always tell you this. You know, one of the most exciting things I like about scriptures was the story of Samson. The Bible said he used the jaw of a donkey. He killed over 1,000 Philistines by the power of the Holy Ghost. The anointing came upon that jaw. You see one thing with the anointing, anything you hold, anointing will come upon. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Jaw! There's a mystery in the jaw. Nothing in the there's nothing in the jaw of a donkey. There's no mystery. There's no power there. The power is in you. Touch anything, the power will come upon it. The Bible spoke about aprons and handkerchiefs from Paul that got the sick healed and got some demons away from people's body. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Demons are so cheeky and small and cheap that if you touch something and throw on somebody that is filled with a demon, they will leave. That's the intensity of the power of God that needs to deliver somebody from a demon. The one that, you know, if you just carry this Bible now and throw on somebody who is demon possessed, if, for instance, if he's demon possessed, now he will start manifesting. That's how little the devil is. It's from remnant that will cast him out. It's so little. It's a non-entity. It's not a factor in the supernatural. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of what? The accuser of the brethren has been what? Cast down. He's been removed from heaven. But we defeat him right now on earth by the blood of the Lamb through the words of our testimony. When we understand what the blood has done for us and we speak it, Satan is nowhere to be found around us. And we truly understand what the blood has done. The Bible says if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus, it will be affirmed that the blood of Jesus has washed you. In other words, if you understand what Jesus has done for you so much, then it is proof that you are partaking in his life, which is symbolic to his blood. You are enjoying the glory of this new life. And Satan is nowhere to be found around this mentality, this environment. You know, I said somewhere, I said there's no devil in my world. Some people almost died. And if the devil takes my car, if he lays hold of my car, he will drive me home safe. There's no devil in my world. Think about it. People filled with demons, a legion of demons, they saw Jesus in one accord. Master! It's not yet time, sir. He said nothing to them. He just came around. They just said, parade, arrange. They did not, they were not speaking, they did not, no. In one accord, sir. We are so sorry to be around you, sir. Sir, please, it's not yet time, you know. So, sir, please don't send us before it's time, sir. The truth is, no, they just get out and they check around. You saw a pig, get out and enter that pig, and that's all. And if anybody eats that pig, you will not be possessed, because when they kill the pig, the demons will go and the meat will be okay. So, eat pig, yes. Yangyo is a bad meat. Why? That time, Jesus pursued demons, they enter Yangyo. Yangyo, don't do, brother. So don't call anything unclean. That's what Jesus said. are you in one accord? But think about it. One accord. Master. But you now will be watching TV. And a lady will stand up. Who are you? I'm Baphomet. What are you doing in this body? I came out from Rihanna and I came to Onitsha and found this girl and I entered her. Who sent you? It is Lucifer that sent me. Not knowing there's no more Lucifer again, there's Satan. What are you doing here? I am called to destroy a star. A star is bright. I'm the one that entered her mother, her uncle, and now I'm in her. Okay. I think they planned the question, but I'm not saying they planned it. So, why are you manifesting? Because fire is in you, sir. I can't look at your eye. Give me the blessed water. Out from this body. Ouch. Those are jokes. Revelation 19. Jesus is coming for the wedding feast of the Lamb. You see, if the church is not ready for marriage, he will not come. They have to be mature for marriage. He's not coming for a weak, immature church. He's coming for a strong and glorious church. You got to understand this. Are you here? We're talking about new creation, not some junk practices. You think I'll just hit them? We hit everywhere the error is. Just get them away from the road. It's time to walk in glory. And I tell you one truth. Like we started with the book of 1 Kings. A lot of times people are looking for the spectacular to find God there. The Bible said fire, wind, everything, earthquake, God was not there. And when Elijah gave up about to go, a still small voice. Some wind just blew a little bit. Still small voice. God said, Elijah, where are you going to? That's the problem with this generation. We are looking for God in the spectacular. We are looking for God in the spectacular. You hear people talking about stories. Stories. You know, I've said this. And sometimes it looks as if I'm finding trouble. But there's no trouble here. So the problem is that we don't have people that can carry mantles. We don't have people that can carry mantles. Mantles are just lying dead. Mantles are just lying dead. I said, what are we talking about? You know, I heard somewhere. And truly, that is why I find it difficult to be in some places. Because I don't know how to lie. You know, I was somewhere with a friend. They invited me. So, why they were teaching? The man saying, there's a dimension of God called darkness. And my friend stood up and said, wow. So, I couldn't bear it. I don't touch him. I said, what did you do? What happened? He said, man of God, everybody is standing up. If you don't stand up, there's a problem. I said, but what does it mean of that? What dimension of God is called darkness? And everybody's like, wow. Somebody's writing that down. Hope you know that. He's going back home. He said, God, show me that darkness dimension of you. What will he see? He may see a beautiful Jesus telling him to go and fetch sand from the ocean so that he will teach him how to call fire from heaven. Did you get what I just said? That's how some people's ministry started. They saw Jesus. Jesus told them to go and kill a ram by River Benue. They saw Jesus, the one we used to draw. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? And you are telling them what you are doing is so. He said, me, I had an encounter. That is why I'm always saying that. You see this encounter thing? It's not bad. But know the word of God first. You see, in fact, we're born into an encounter. We're born from the highest realm of encounters. We are born of the Spirit. Seated, our life started from the throne, not from the manger. It's Jesus that went to the manger for us. But he ended up on the throne. Our life started from the throne. Are you guys getting on trying to explain to you? From the throne, seated together with Christ. Now, if you sit in the highest place, the Bible said God gave him a name above all names. It didn't stop there. He gave you the name God gave him. You are seated together with him in that name. Now, what is in the realm of the Spirit that is so glorious? And there is more glorious than you. Nothing in the supernatural outside God is more beautiful than you. Not even angels. Bible says even angels desire to see into these things. You know why some of you doubt if you are greater than angels? Because it's see finish that is a problem. You are so used to this world, so used to your culture, so used to your mistakes, that when God defines you from his word, you are finding it difficult to believe. The Bible says, to which of these angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? None of them. But to the Son, he said so. And as many as have believed in his name, to them he has given what? The right to be called the sons of God. He said, don't you know you even judge angels? You see how big you are? It's very difficult to believe, but are you believing it small right now? My God, you are big. You are big. Very big. Very big. Glory. I tell you, you are big. So I told some friends in Kaduna one time, I was teaching them. I said, encounters are beautiful, but you are in the highest place of encounter. And I said, but if you understand the word is at an added advantage, you'll be able to navigate the path of the Spirit the right way. As you are moving in the supernatural, because the supernatural is now your world, and you are being encountered by an angel, and the angel tells you, see, I'm an angel, so beautiful, but the angel now says this word. He now said, listen, Jesus is not the Son of God, he's the Father of God. Go tell my people this. Whew. What will you say, useless angel? Because you are not scared. Paul said, even if an angel comes to you with another gospel, tell the angel, get out. Why would Paul have the impetus to tell you this? He knows you are higher, you are in a higher place. The Bible said the Spirit searches all things, 1 Corinthians 2, hear the deep things of God. Then the Bible said, he said, who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? He said, in the same way, who knows the heart of... Now remember, the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deepest things of God. Who knows the heart of a man, verse 10, but the spirit of that man? Who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God? He said, but you have received, verse 11, the Spirit which is from God, verse 12, so that you may know the things that are freely given unto you. Then the last part of the scripture, verse 16, who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Oh, years ago, I was reading Kenyon's book. He said, God thinks through my mind because I have the mind of Christ. He said, so when I'm thinking, God is thinking. There's no place for the devil. It's a holy thing, wonderful, peaceful, beautiful thoughts. Not useless thoughts. I'm not fighting the devil. I'm living and eating my breakfast, lunch, and dinner on his head, neck. He's a table. That is if I like, but actually is under my feet. And the God of peace, Romans 16, will crush Satan under your feet. And anything under your feet is dust. So Satan is dust, and to dust has he returned. Not you, glory! I like the response. Satan is dust, and to dust he has returned. Not you. Glory to God. Ah, Pastor, but it was said in Genesis, Adam, dust you are, dust. Remember, that was a consequence of Adam's decision. He ate from the wrong tree. And when he ate from the wrong tree, he was not conscious of his form. Adam is not his form. Adam had a form. You know what I just said? Adam was not or is not his form. Adam has a form. We are not our form. We have a form. Adam is a spirit. His form is his body. That's why when you die, the flesh decays. Because you are not your flesh. It's a form. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But get this. At the end, the Bible said the dead in Christ shall be the first to put their flesh and live with their flesh forever. So God wanted the flesh to live forever from the beginning. Think about it. There was no day for you to die in the heart of God. Death is a resultant effect of disobedience of man. There was no day for you to die. And that's why death is an enemy. The last enemy that shall be conquered is death. But look at it now. When Adam ate from the wrong tree, see what the Bible said. He said, I am naked. He never knew he was naked, even though he had always been naked. And people get out and try to say, logically speaking, he had always been naked. But spiritually speaking, 2 Corinthians 5, we groan that our body, that what is mortal be swallowed up by life. Meaning, Adam had the glory around him he was conscious of. The reality of his spirit transcended beyond his physicality. He was conscious of the reality of his spirit rather than his form that was from the dust of the ground. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Are you getting confused? But when Adam ate from the wrong tree, he was dead. The Bible said, he answered, I'm naked. Meaning he began to describe himself from the lenses of the flesh. That's death. To be carnally minded is death. So we can factor this now in the beginning. If God said to be carnally minded is death, take what he just said, take it to the beginning. He said, the day you eat from the tree, you will die. Carefully vet it. Adam said, I am naked. He became carnally minded. What was that? Death. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So because of that, where is his form from? Dust of the ground. Genesis 2:7, and God formed man from the dust of the ground. So when Adam said, I am naked, he was conscious of himself. I mean, he was seeing himself from the lenses of the flesh. He called himself flesh. What did God say? Your form is from dust. And now, since you are conscious of yourself as dust, as flesh, I mean, to dust you shall return. But something changed in the New Testament. God just said the consequence of Adam's choice. But in the New Testament, he said, if the same spirit... Now, before I even come here, he said, there are different kinds of body. In 1 Corinthians 15, terrestrial and etc. He was saying that to end up somewhere. He said, the first man, he said, there's a natural body and a glorified body. And he said, the first man is of the earth, earthly. Then he said, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Then he said, as you bore the image of the first man, bore past tense, so are you bearing the image of the second man. The second man, who is the second man? The Lord from heaven. Now, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit has what? Quicken your mortal body. The second man is a mirror. As we behold Jesus like a mirror, as we behold the glory of God. Now, the first man is not our mirror. It is the second man that is our mirror. Now, if the second man is our mirror, then we are not dust returning to dust. I'm a life-giving spirit. Glory to God. How can I be scared? I can't be scared. Sickness and sin cannot reign. Now, that's what he did for you before he told you, see, sickness and sin cannot reign on your mortal body. Because of what he did on your body. Don't you get it? He said they can't reign. A man called John Gillett, many years ago, there was this situation like coronavirus, worse than coronavirus, a plague that happened in South Africa. And people were dying. And he prayed in the spirit so much and he came out. And he said he wanted to help the doctors because even doctors were dying too in the lab. It was a wrong time to be a doctor. They were dying too. So he wanted to help them. And they were shocked. The man was taking dead corpses, you know, and was trying to help them. And he said, you must be mad. They were inside their overall this thing. They said, something must be wrong with you, Oga. Oh, but they observed 2 days, the guy was still alive. So stronger than some of them that are about to die. And somebody said, let's check this man. They put the flu on his hands and they carry microscope. After a few minutes, look at it. They all died. They all died. And they believe that Jesus is Lord. Of course. Of course. Glory. See, we can't be talking like the world. We are aliens upon the face of the earth. That's what Paul said. Aliens. Think about it. See, don't be an ordinary Christian. Are you listening to me? Think about Paul in the Bible. The Bible said even Timothy was in that meeting where they gathered around where they felt like Paul died. In the book of Acts. I think around 17 there about. They gathered. Trying to console, you know, they just got that. What a good man. While they were looking, Paul stood up and started going to prepare to go and preach in another city. Paul said some words in 1 Corinthians. Is it 15? He said, you know, people always say we die daily. It means as a Christian, every day you die. See, go and check that part of scripture. That's not what Paul meant. Look at it critically. Then he explained what he meant by we die daily. He said, I fought with the beast in the city of Ephesus. He said, look at the dangerous journey I've been going for. It seems like I was dying daily. Sometimes they'll stone him to death and they'll see him preaching again. He said, if the resurrection is not real, then let us eat and drink. Because tomorrow we are going for a more dangerous mission and we may die. You know what Paul said, that the reason I can live and live and live because Jesus has resurrected. And this resurrection, the glory or product of this resurrection is not just for the end. So he was saying, because Jesus resurrected, then at the end we'll resurrect. Because Jesus resurrected, right now sickness cannot have a hold on our body. Death cannot have a hold on our body. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? We don't live when the devil wants us to live. We live when God wants us to live. We just sleep and wait. No. He said, with long life, I will satisfy you. With long life, I will what? Satisfy. Meaning, if you live long, it's satisfaction. You are living long because you have eternal life. And for us, we are not dying. Paul said, we were sleeping. And we will meet again on resurrection morning. Glory, glory, glory. It was a long night. How are you? But he said, not all will die. That's another mystery. Even me too, I called it a mystery. Before I remember, I called it a mystery. He said, but I show you a mystery. Not all will die. Not all will die. You may not die. Do you know if the second coming happens now, you will not die? Do you know if Jesus comes today, you will not die? But something will happen. You will be changed. He said the promise is not death for everybody. Not all will die. But certainly, all will be changed. And how do we get changed? Because he said some words. He said in 1 John 4:17, he said, we are not scared until the day of his coming. Because as he is, so are we. Where? In this present world. Wow. Meaning when he comes, you will find some people already like him. That's what the Bible is saying. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. How do we get into that change? 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold the glory of God in a mirror, we are being transformed. Change happens by the revelation of Jesus, not by death. Because not all will die, but all will be changed. And the change comes by the revelation of Jesus. So as you are listening to now, there's a change. In the twinkle of an eye, as you are listening to me, you are getting change. You are getting change. Suddenly you are saying, I'm strong. The weak are saying, I'm strong. The poor are saying, I'm rich. In the twinkle of an eye, change, 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 change. I did a teaching one time on that. Having checked so many commentaries, I said, you see, that trumpet is not literal. There's not going to be any trumpet at the end. Paul was actually trying to use allegories. As we're teaching the gospel, as we're teaching the gospel, people are getting changed. People are getting changed. All of a sudden, in a twinkle of an eye, something is happening. You were not like this before. We thought somehow you got changed to this person. You will teach somebody, all of a sudden, the person is changed. Before you know it, we're in the wedding feast of the Lamb. The second coming. And that's why we have to be teaching. Every day I'll be getting people saved. Because the earnest expectation of creation awaits our manifestation. We are the hope of creation. We are the hope of creation. And I was teaching somebody this. We have been saying it here. He's a Yahoo boy. I didn't know he was a Yahoo boy. So while we're talking, he told me, Pastor, you won't believe it. I'm a Yahoo boy. And I don't just do Yahoo. I use charm. Then he said these words. He said, sir, nobody will hear this gospel and not follow God. He started crying. I never told him to repent. I was just telling him about Jesus. Then he started crying. He said, I don't believe anybody will hear this thing like this and refuse to follow God, except they don't hear it. I felt so touched. You know what the Bible said in the book of Romans? It said the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes. Many years ago, I was doing an exegesis on this scripture. Then I said to myself, but God, they have to believe. And God said, yes, but they wouldn't believe until you preach. Now, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Meaning that if we don't preach, they will not believe. Now listen, who has the gospel message? We have the gospel message by the Spirit of God in us. It is when we go out of our way, preach the gospel message to unbelievers, that the gospel will get into them and faith will be stirred from their inside. Question is, where is the gospel message? In us. Where is their faith? In us. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain. Because faith cometh by hearing. So if they don't hear these words, faith will not rise. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Everything unbelievers need is in you. Christ in us. The hope of glory. If we don't go to them, they will not receive Jesus. If we don't go to them, there is no hope for a change for them. They are waiting for our manifestation. You must understand that BSU will be changed because you decide one day to say, I want to preach there. I want to preach here. This hostel can change because you make up your mind and say, everybody will hear the gospel for the cause of Christ. Paul said in the prison, I'm in chains for the cause of Christ. Consoling people in the city. Be consoled. Be consoled. He was excited. He was happy. Are you hearing me? Oh, glory to God. With a glorious life. You know, I said it's hard to be seen preaching the gospel. You don't find any joy. But if you are preaching the gospel in victory, you do it with so much excitement. God doesn't want us to go and preach the gospel with one of our legs broken, suffering with one sin or another. He wants us to preach it with so much glory and excitement. There's the way you are telling the person, he can catch the spirit that this is a possibility. And suddenly he's walking in the victory. Another one was preaching to me many years ago on campus. He said to me, he said, sir, he didn't know I was a pastor. So I was sitting with one of my pastors, and we didn't look like pastors probably. We just looked casual, jeans and tops. And while he was preaching, my co-pastor wanted to tell him to stop, that I'm a pastor. But I said, I pinched him. I said, leave him to preach. I didn't know why I wanted the young man to preach. While I was preaching, he said, do you know, sirs? Do you know that no matter what you do, you'll not go to hell? If you decide to be born again now, no matter, even if you sin, do you know you'll not go to hell? So that's what he was saying. You will not go to hell. You will not go. If you do this, you will not go to hell. And it's not like if you do a good thing. If you do a bad thing, you will not go to hell. So he was trying to make us feel like if we become born again now and we do bad things, because we will do bad things. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Am I disagreeing? Now, am I saying that immediately you become born again, you may not make one or two mistakes? No. But why just pointing at the negative? So when he was done, I said, thank you. I said, but I'm shocked that the only thing you told me was negativity. I said, what of 1 John 3 and 9? That if you are born again, if you are born of God, you cannot sin because the seed of God is in you. I said, what of 2 Peter? That we are partakers of his divine nature and have escaped the corruption in the world through lust. I said, why can't you tell us this thing? Why are you telling us that? Even if you see, he wasn't looking at me. And when I was done, I said to him, no, this is not gospel. He collected my number. On Sunday, he came, very humble guys. He came to my church with his pastor. Hallelujah to Jesus. But that's just the truth. We had to talk to him. We had to talk to him. A lot of people like that. Staring the possibility for sin. That no matter what you do in the flesh, it does not matter. It does matter. Because Emmanuel, God with the reason why that reality of Emmanuel will happen is because your body have been acknowledged as a living sacrifice to God. He will reign on the earth through your body. Not bodies of sin, body of righteousness. Romans 6 and 6, carefully read. What does he say? We all know it. It says, in the Amplified rendition, knowing this that our old man was crucified. Amplified said, old man without the Holy Spirit was what? Nailed to the cross with him. In order that what? It is done away with. You see that? Your body of sin is what? Your body of sin is what? And that is why God said you would not be slaves to sin. But slaves to what? Righteousness. Verse 7. One to go. It says, for the person who has died with Christ has been freed from the power of sin. I've been freed. You wake up in the morning. This is a good place to dance. You can just say, I've been freed. Record it, just played. I've been freed. And dance. Create us praise songs with this kind of lyrics. Not the ones that we don't know where it's carrying us to. Move your body. No! I've been freed. In the name of Jesus, I've been freed. That is why the church are not experiencing salvation. Because they like to just dance. You know, sometimes I used to feel like, bah, we are trying to replace that thing we can't do. You know, we don't have the opportunity to go to club because they will catch us and they say we are Christian. Imagine you go to club and somebody says, and maybe that pastor for glory cries with this. You just say, hey, Jesus Christ. You know, and run. So when you come to church, sometimes I just feel like that thing we couldn't do in club, sometimes we just get scared and start doing it in church. One time I went to church on campus. Guess the song this church was singing. I was about to enter my church to preach. One leg up. All the pastors in the front. I stood for a while. I see. Hey. They were just doing their hand. Hey, Pastor Victor, one leg up. For like 5 minutes, one leg up. Hey, check your body. They were just moving. I said, ooh. So I just collected the mic. I said, from today, no more praise in this church. Only worship. Oh, we worship God from campus, my God. If you come to that church, you just feel the glory. And when we are done, everybody will sit down. So many people's dancing skills died. Is it because I'm against praise songs? No! I found that some people were just doing idolatry. So create songs with this revelation. Create songs with this revelation. You know, someone met me one time before I closed. He said, sir, what is the meaning of ancient mysteries in scriptures? The Bible said there's a mystery that has been hidden for our glory. In ages past, for our glory. He said, don't you think those sounds are... Now I said, listen, I sing in the spirit and it's not bad. I pray in the spirit and it's not bad. Paul said, I'll pray in the spirit and I'll sing in the spirit. It's not bad. Sing in the, my understanding, I mean, and pray in my understanding. He said, I'll sing in the spirit and I'll sing in my understanding. And it's not bad. Now, for instance, one of the founding fathers of faith in Kaduna is Chris Delvan. And most of us, we grew under the influence of Chris Delvan while we were growing in Kaduna. Amen. So we sang those songs and they were a blessing. Till today you hear me sing them in church. But when you now have a mentality that ancient sounds, ancient mystery simply means odd sound, then it's a wrong mentality. That anytime you think God wants to steer an ancient sound, you begin to look for a melody in your hand. Now, something is wrong. It's true. The gospel is simple. If you think that's it, something is wrong. You just want to you just say, Father, give me an ancient sound. I'm not saying God does not give those sounds, but now you are thinking if they say ancient sound, that is where your mind is going. The Bible says the mystery that has been hidden in ages past for our glory. What is the mystery? Christ in us. The revelation of Jesus is the ancient sound. Meaning when you sing songs, when you coin songs from the finished work of Jesus, you will see the power of God in display like you've never seen before. So no, the songs, they are so casual. The songs are so... Who told you they are casual? You see, in our spiritual work, right? If you go in, if you are a Christian here in Africa, I tell you the truth, you think that is ancient. You get to a point where you'll be tired, you come back here. I know what I'm telling you. Many years ago, I remember in Kaduna State, we were praying. I mean, we would pray like mad people. And it's beautiful. I don't regret those days. I always thank God for those days. In fact, it helped my faith so well. That's why today you hear me hitting on prayer. How can you say, some people say we are new creation people, we don't pray. And I said, all those things are rubbish. If you don't pray, you never say manifestation of God's word. Because prayer is a common denominator for a manifestation through the Old Testament to the New Testament. You want to say manifestation, you pray. But we had a way we were praying. And it was a prayer for, we called it prayer for hunger. You know, you see this hunger you are doing here, it started with us. It's the truth. When I came here, I found out that most things we were doing there, they were doing, in fact, some have not even started here at that time. So we're calling hunger, Lord, hunger. I mean, you need to see us pray for hunger. Because we believe that if you are not hungry as a Christian, you are not on fire. That was our faith. So I remember when I was one of the persons I was leading prayer for all of these things in my fellowship in NDA. So when I lead prayer for hunger, we don't start with everybody begin to pray. If you even just come, can you just lift your, they will push you from that front. You don't come like that. You come charged and active. There's a way you move on the stage that we know that you know what you are doing. So if we come there, we're already jumping and doing. Is somebody hungry? Are you hungry? You see some of us entering under our chair. I'm not joking. Some people will raise their chair. We're hungry. One day in my house, I was praying for hunger. Lord, hunger. Now I was praying to God to give me hunger. I wanted to be hungry for the things of God. Because we're taught that if you're not hungry, you're not alive in the spirit. You're dead. So God, hunger. I heard the word of God simple like he spoke to Elijah. A very simple way. He said, what if, when will you know that you have been given what you are looking for? More like a question. So hunger. So imagine God now say, I've given you the hunger. And you come the next day, hunger. I say, but I've given you the hunger. Because if you pray believing you have received, you will have. So you already have the hunger. And you're looking for more hunger. And the Lord told me, he said, hunger does not make anybody alive in the spirit. Hunger is a proof that you're about to die. I said, wait a minute. I opened my Bible. Then I saw that Jesus does not make people hungry. He satisfies people. He said, I'm the bread that when you eat, you hunger no more. I'm on the wine that when you drink, you thirst no more. So when I saw it, I said, Jesus is not the one in this hunger parade. Jesus is in a satisfaction parade. It's okay not to be excited, but it's the truth. And if you think I'm lying, get hungry. But try this and see. Just try being satisfied. Everywhere in the supernatural, in the physical, check the Bible. Even Elijah was going for something. God gave him food. You may call it spiritual food, but it's food. Because satisfaction is what gets you ready. Not hunger. That is why hungry Christians, because even Jesus is our spiritual food. If you don't understand Jesus, you will not even find rest. The Bible said there's a rest prepared for the children of God. It's not fight, it's not stress. There's a rest prepared. So what we are doing in prayer is to labor to enter into this rest. If we don't say this thing to your people boldly, this is how this foolishness will be traveling from one generation to another. Then you think you being ambiguous and strange is a proof that you understand God. Look at the way Paul spoke to Timothy. He said, run away from all these vain babblings. All these activities are mites and their endless genealogies. He said, study to show yourself approved. Did you ever read Paul? And Paul said, there's a dimension of God called Elijah. When our generation, people are calling Elijah a system. Paul never said that. Jesus never said that. I heard somebody saying that. How can somebody say we are greater than Elijah? See, me, I know they all. Elijah is a system. Elijah. And people were standing up, scared because people were talking about Elijah. They just want to say one strange thing. Even Jesus, they told him to do something like Elijah. It's not today it started. Jesus came, the disciples were still admiring Elijah. That was not all. In the same city Jesus passed on, John the Baptist had overflowed too. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? People looked at Jesus and said, we believe John the Baptist. Is it not strange? In fact, the point came, John the Baptist was angered. He was offended at Jesus. See, that man is too... Go and ask him, is he the one coming? He's the one that laid hands and everything. Everything Israel saw. He said, go and still ask him. The way he's doing things, I thought now everywhere should have scattered in this town. Let's know that he has come. The man was still calm. Enter places, eat food. People will be okay. He will go his own thing. Go somewhere, talk to them nicely. A woman will come. They want to stone her. He'll say, allow the woman to go. Sit down somewhere. Somebody will come and pour money in his hand. He said, leave the money. No problem. Judas will be having problem. He said, no problem. He was just... You know, it should have been said, God has entered our city. The city is shaking. God was walking everywhere, sleeping, waking up. Zacchaeus on the tree, come back, let's go and eat in your house. God, though. They went there, they ate pig and meat and the rest of them. And eating, Zacchaeus said, he ate in my house. He started giving them double. Imagine Jesus comes. We too will be wondering, do something. The disciples said, do show us a sign. And look at them, he said, what greater sign should be shown that has been shown and can be likened to the days of Jonah, where he was buried in the belly of the fish for 3 days and he came back alive. Talking about his death, burial and resurrection. He said, all the signs you saw at the Old Testament, where did it lead you to? Nowhere. A sign leads to a destination. So if you show me a sign, it should lead me to a destination. All of the signs in the Old Testament did not lead anybody to the Father. But Jesus is the way to the Father. And in his death, burial, and resurrection, we have entrance and access to the Father with God. And that's not just all. You must also be conscious of his ability on your inside. Paul is a beautiful testament of the new creation man. His life. He portrayed the glory of the new creation man. When you look at Paul, you see wisdom. When you look at Paul, you see power. I told somebody, I said, you people are shouting Elijah. Come, let me show you something. I sat down, I wrote Paul, I wrote Elijah. I said, tell me one thing Elijah did, let me show you what Paul did. When he wrote, I wrote. At the end, he found out that Elijah have not started. Because we are not shouting Paul. Paul was preaching in a service. Somebody fell. Because he was taking too much time like I'm taking right now. And the person died. Paul did not say, the service is ended. Let's rush the guy to the hospital. Paul went downstairs. He carried the person. The person came back alive. He came back. The people were wondering, maybe Paul, the service is ended. Paul said, so where was I? Are you seeing something here? And you said anybody in the Old Testament, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Paul was a major prophet. Listen, let me show you one thing Paul did before we close. Paul was traveling with the people on the boat. They were going to somewhere. Paul said, see, I see in the spirit that there will be a storm and this canoe will capsize. They said, but no worry. Don't worry, I mean. I said, no worry in English. Sorry, Paul. He said, but don't worry. I'm here. It wouldn't happen. I've spoken with the Lord. And it's changed. They were going. They saw a sign. The canoe almost paused. I told you, nothing will happen. Don't pray. He now coordinated himself and went. So, Paul was the kind of prophet that would see a bad thing and change the bad thing to be a good thing. Now, Paul was that kind of prophet that said, peace, there's going to be a crash. There's supposed to be a crash around Johannesburg. There's supposed to be a crash, but by the Spirit, you will see a sign, yet you will end in peace. Meaning you will reach your dedication, not dead. Paul was that kind of prophet. See, the truth is that in the New Testament, the proof that you are a prophet is not that you say bad things and they keep on happening. That's not a proof. You are operating not just in the word of knowledge. You have the word of wisdom, which is the word of God. You can tell people Satan is planning this, but God wants this to happen. And before this, what God said will happen, you see a sign from the devil that he actually wanted this to happen. Because we are operating with the words of wisdom and the word of knowledge. So somebody called me and said one of our members died. I think it was the day before yesterday night. She's a military officer. I'm sure she's watching the service. He said she died. And he said the reason why he called me was because I was teaching and we heard she died outside. So I rushed outside to try to revive her. And somehow he had to call me. And so I said to her, you have to be plugged to messages. You see, we were teaching and you died outside. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Many of you are hearing the word of God. There is no way you'll be outside. Talk less of dying outside. So when they called me, I said all the problems wrong with her. Glory to God. When I said it, the young man said, that's exactly what she said. I didn't wait for them to tell me the problem. I said everything happening in the home. So he told me that's exactly what is happening. Then I told her, I said, be plugged in. Hallelujah to Jesus. Then I said to them at the end, I said, the reason why God showed us this is not because you are supposed to die. God showed us this so that you will not die. That's what you must understand about the prophetic. So me, my dream used to come to pass. Anything I see, you are not a Christian. If everything you see in the negative especially come to pass, you are not a Christian. If you see it, God is saying, you know why God said you should see it? Hey, one person should stand up. If your brother is about to die and you saw your brother dead and he died, you don't know who you are. God showed you, Pastor Ed, because he knows you have the power to say, peace, be still. Brother, don't die. That's why he showed you, because he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you have ever what? According to his power, where? at work in you. So he wants to use his power in you to save a situation in your family. That's why he did not show another person, he showed you. It's the most spiritual that sees it. Are you all listening to me? The lukewarm will not see it. And even if they see it, they don't have anything to do about it. But it's the most spiritual that sees it. And sometimes when the lukewarm sees it, notice something, they become spiritual all of a sudden. That thing they thought they don't have, they will stare it inside. Have you seen somebody that saw somebody dead? She saw mommy dead and she woke up. She never prayed in tongues for several years. But God showed her so that something within her can come alive. Are you here tonight? Are you feeling glorious? Tell your neighbor it's time for glory. Now we speak to them that have knowledge. A fool, men, for idols not supposed to be eaten by human beings. Satan is nothing. That's why I said this last scripture. It's nothing. Satan is. You wake up in the morning, thank God for Satan is nothing. Thank God because he's been defeated. Thank God because all my needs are met. Thank God, Holy Spirit, because you are glorious in my life. Thank God because nothing of the enemy can walk in and through my life. Thank God because there's no sin in my life. Thank God because I'm full of righteousness. I'm born again and my new being does not support sin but righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Make your request known to God in thanksgiving. Glory to God Almighty. Bow your heads and pray. Give God all the praise. We give you all the glory. We worship you, King of kings and Lord of all. Go ahead and bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Rabo Shakata Barande Kosi Baratishka. Go ahead. Pray in the spirit. Leraba Shakora Dabalatandia Kasubra Gadaya. Shembro Kondi Brendi Suflahai. Paskam Blindon Zovrohondi Shabai. Brada Degadaban Sograbada Karadia Kando Brahasha. Go ahead, pray in the spirit. Omni kala brondesh kopaliata. Brendia kali rosh kande brendogo. I can't hear you. Pray. 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 All who have heard is a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. These are my soonnesses. This is my understanding. These are my realities. In the name of Jesus, the words I've heard, they are my realities. Rebosha Manko Rabababa Shanarada Babababaya Lenda Kababa. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I know the Word of God. I'm living the reality of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. I live for the cause of Christ. I live for the cause of Christ. Oh yeah, yeah. Shanarada Babababa. Go ahead, pray, pray everywhere. Oh, kara la kaba la tosha. Lereke de bo shaka la kaka de kaba ba 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 ba. Landa ba 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 ba. Shara na ba 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 ba. Shira na na mo kandi na mo shira di ano sha. Let your voice. Shira na ma kona na ma de. Let your voice pray. Oh, Kasana Tafra Katebra.
In 1 minute, somebody pray in the spirit. Pray. 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 Bless the Holy Ghost. Arakopia Palavisha. Pray in the spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lata Kavaria Kashu. Oh, Shabaya. Let every fiber of our being give you the glory you deserve. Every story of our life give you the glory you deserve. Libra hash kovra handi bla hatush. Oh, Father. Oh, what love you have left.
To image divine, yeah. What an honor to be ordained and anointed, to be a man and you are scattered, dancing the rhythm of your heart. Sing, Father. Oh, what love,
burn
me a model, so say your image divine. What an honor, yeah, to be ordained, to be a man and your scepter. Forever come, your glory God is all I run after. Yeah, without you, God, there's no need, God. Forever I worship, sing forever come. Your glory, God, is all I run after. Without you, God. Bring you the worship you deserve. Bring you the worship you deserve. Let every story of my life bring you the worship you deserve. Bring you the worship you deserve. Bring you the worship you deserve. Let every fiber of my being
bring you the
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I am sure. sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.